It's podcast time on XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. We've dropped out all the boring bits, so now there's more of Danny.
Hello there, it's podcast number 42 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. On this week's podcast, Howard Marks swings by the studio. We take a look back at history in Quiztery. That's Quizface. We get your angry nerd rants, your good news and your suspicions. Johnny Lee Miller's on it as well. It's all happening and it starts now.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
There's loads of stuff I just don't understand. Just confused. I'm sort of confused this morning. Maybe it's me, maybe I'm tired. A new gadget has come out. It's designed to get people drunk instantly. What you do is you just spray it in your mouth and you're drunk. And then,
okay.
About a minute later or something, you've sobered up. I'm not sure why that, was that, how's that useful?
Why would you want to do that?
The sobering up thing, I can see, you know, the other way. If there was a,
yeah,
you know, flip it, reverse it.
Instant sober spray.
Very handy. Not the other way, surely. There's a new range of soda flavours in America. Carbonated drinks,
right.
Bacon flavour, oh, buffalo wing flavour.
Bacon comes into everything, doesn't it?
What's going on with bacon? It's really having a resurgence.
Yeah,
I don't understand why anyone's done this. Sweet corn flavour. Again, there's a new restaurant that's opened up in China, and it's all themed around an A380 jumbo jet. So you sit in little chairs next to people, probably that you don't even know, and eat tiny meals. Why have they done that? Adele and Queen have topped a list of the most popular artists that are listened to while cooking. Who's looking into this? Who's going, we need to find out what people listen to while they're cooking?
Yeah.
And then they dedicate months of their lives to this.
Yeah.
Adele and Queen have topped a list. Around 60% of the British public listen to music while preparing a meal, with the popular 80s band and international songstress the most in-demand. To listen to while in the kitchen. In demand. It's not really an in demand, is it? It's just like you just get your iPod out or something like that. But again, why? What is it, me, Matt? What's going on?
I don't know. It's not you. Don't worry. This is ridiculous. Who would vote in such a poll? Who would take part of it in it? You know, I just go, oh yeah, that really gets my goat, actually. I must have my say on kitchen music. I feel very strongly about this. More people probably voted in that than they did in the local elections.
That's boom, political thing. Satire.
That's a sad thing, Daniel.
That's the satire.
Give them bacon. That's all they want.
FM. Howard Marks popped into the studio to have a chat about a new show he's doing, and this is what happened. Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show, and it's not often I say sentences like this. Our next guest, nuclear physics grad, you know, he's done that. He's got nuclear physics just in the bag, philosophy as well. He's worked with the British Secret Service. The rumours he had connections to the Mafia. It's my father. It's not my father. It's Howard Marks, everybody. Here he is. How are you, Howard?
Very, very well indeed.
It's good to see you. It's good to see you.
You too.
What an incredible life. It's very hard to know where on earth to begin with you. Everything is potentially a story, you know, just so much stuff. You crammed it all in. One thing, you know, that I was reminded of just reading this was, you know, you were, of course, sentenced to 25 years in a federal penitentiary. Was it 7 years you...
Yeah, 6 2/3 is what I actually did.
6 2/3.
Yeah, it was reduced to 20 years, you know, after some legal wrangling, and then it got maximum parole, so I was out after 6 2/3.
So you got that. And for anyone unfamiliar, what was the charge?
Racketeering.
Racketeering. Which makes it sound very romantic, almost like a pirate or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's a great sounding charge.
So 6 2/3 years in a federal penitentiary. Must have been great fun. Still in touch with any of the guys?
Most of them, sadly, will never get out. But, you know, I'm 100% convinced that I came out of there a better person than when I went in.
Is that right?
Yeah,
in what way?
I stopped taking myself seriously. You stopped being such a... and learned the value. It sounds a bit tippy-trippy, but learned the value of sort of helping people less fortunate than myself and things like that.
And I mean, life's been exciting the last, you've really, in the sort of the 90s, you were almost rediscovered by the public at large. I mean, thanks, you know, to your excellent book, Mr. Nice, but you were championed by various magazines, and you hit the circuit, and you were doing your kind of your talk books everywhere, and he became almost a folk hero. And it is, I mean, for anyone unfamiliar with Mr. Nice, it's an autobiography of a certain part of your life.
Yeah.
And how would you describe it succinctly to anyone unfamiliar with your past?
It's about a Welsh kid going to Oxford, you know, becoming a big dope dealer, and then becoming a very big dope dealer, and then becoming a dope smuggler, and then getting caught.
And then getting caught, exactly, which brings us to the racketeering, of course, as well. XFM. Shall we get the good news in the studio? You might be able to hear Matt tapping away, finalising his important good news. Now he's scratching his head, which in the animal world means I'm ready. Matt.
Good news, guys. Yeah. After years of going to the cinema and just accepting the status quo, sticking to the traditions and norms of popcorn laid down by the multiplex suits and the kiosk number crunches.
Jotter blossoms.
The sweet or the salty, one or the other.
Yeah.
Just pick one and move on.
Mm.
I saw the light yesterday. A friend asked for two styles of the cinema snack to be mixed together in one bucket.
What?
Creating a delightful cocktail of sweet and savoury all in one.
Ooh.
Layered, if you will. I will never go back.
Really?
The old ways.
It's salt and sweet for you.
It's amazing.
Salt, is it?
Yes.
Man, well, we got some salt in the kitchen and some sugar.
Let's go get that.
Down it. No, do not do that. Good news, guys. Last night, I was unwillingly drawn into a Twitter feud, a Twitter battle. With former Charlatans frontman Tim Burgess.
Ooh.
Me and Burge, as I've never called him, I've tweeted politely in the past. He helped me compile a playlist for my Christmas party, but last night saw him launch an unprecedented attack on me, boasting that his book, Telling Some Stories to You, was one place ahead of my new book, Charlotte Street, brackets out today, close brackets, already a top three hit in Estonia. The resultant war of words and chivying along of followers worked in my favour, however, as at 5 a.m. this morning, I was 10 places ahead of Telling Some Stories to You.
Yes.
Yet Burge remains strangely silent on the matter. More good news is that this subtle plug I'm doing right now, reminding you the book is out today, further guarantees my victory over this literary charlatan. We are XFM. Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name is Danny Wallace. And with me this morning, he's doing a show at the Underbelly soon with John Sinclair called Breathe and Air. It's on the 16th of May. Then he's doing solo shows the 25th and 26th of June. It's Howard Marks, everybody. And Howard, here is a little story for you. 1996, I think it was.
Yeah.
Imagine a young man trying to make his way in the world. He's come to London for one of the first times. He's invited to a party that probably he shouldn't have even been invited to meet some people he hasn't met before, and he can't find them. He's busy, and he ends up at the bar talking to a friendly man from Wales. Wonder if you can guess who it might be. And this friendly man and him, they get chatting, and they chat for quite some time. And at one point, the young man, not at that stage realising who the older man, he looks at the gentleman in question, who then starts to perform an illegal act. That makes it sound dirty. What I mean is, it involves, let's say, tobacco of some description, publicly, right there. And the younger man is thinking, well, this is an unusual development in London. That younger man was me, and that older man was you, couldn't guess. And we got on like a house on fire that night. There was a poster that I'd been given, and you signed your name on there, and you invited me to your villa to hang out, and I still didn't know. I left that party thing. That was pretty cool. The next day, I'm in search of a full English breakfast. I'm walking through Camden with my Norwegian friend Espen, and we are tired, right? We're hungover. It's bleak. It's grim out there. And as we're walking towards a cafe, which, interestingly, later I will get food poisoning from, I look over to my right, and there is a book in a window of a bookshop, and it's Mr. Nice. And I'm going, that's the fella. That's that guy from last night. So I dash in. Look on the back. Howard Marks was one of Britain's most wanted criminals. I thought, this is the most amazing city in the world that this could happen. So you were like my first London story.
Really?
Yeah.
A dear, obviously.
But there must be so many stories. Actually, I'm just realising, there must be so many stories people tell you about yourself that you've got no memory of.
This is true.
I'd be surprised if you remember the monologue I've just done about what just happened.
I don't
He doesn't remember already. Fantastic. But Howard, I mean, you know, what is it like when people come up to to you and because you are this friendly face of crime, they must have these stories about you. Do you learn a lot about yourself?
Yes. I mean, I do, and you know, and I must say that just about everyone who comes up to me is a nice person.
Oh,
you know,
that's good.
I mean, I don't seem to get any sort of people coming along wanting to smack me. Or
that never happened. No one ever.
Well, I suppose I'll correct myself. When I stood for Parliament, you kind of invite adversity in a sense.
I bet the Daily Mail would love that.
Yes. The Daily Mail turned out to be quite handy, really, because, well, they wrote this long article saying, despite looking like a Rolling Stone, despite sounding a bit like Richard Burton, of course he just put the dots between
sticking
on the
nice.
Back of the book.
Nice. That's very good. That's very good. I'll be honest, I've done that with one review I got for Private Eye about me. Turned a huge negative into a massive positive. Sylvester Stallone has been spotted in a painting of the Pope. Let me know you hear that.
Whoa.
This is a 500-year-old painting. And if you look, there he is, clear as day.
What, are you suggesting he's a member of the undead as well?
That's what I'm getting
to. He's been around for years. More proof.
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Good.
I'm glad you read between the lines. I was just going to leave it at that. Just a wry raise of the eyebrow. Just let the listeners make their own mind up. Yeah. We already know that Nicolas Cage is a vampire, a member of the undead. I put it to him in this very studio, didn't I?
Yeah.
A bit cagey about it. Hence his name, though.
Yes.
That wasn't even supposed to be a joke. But
And Travolta.
It's all making sense. Oh. Travolta, yeah, he was in the Civil War, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, Hollywood hard man Sylvester Stallone has a new starring role, says the paper, in a priceless 16th century painting at the Vatican. And there he is, you know, just clear as day. And he's just watching the Pope in action. And there's the Pope, and he's blessing someone as a bald man behind him. And just peeping around a corner. So, Sly, will you pass that to Matt?
What, is he doing the, like, he's just run up the top of the steps in Philadelphia and he's got his arms in the air? Oh, no, it's just, wow.
It is, isn't it? See? That's the reaction that a lot of people are saying this morning. There are men describing the story to other men in vans and on sites and everywhere, and that exact thing has just happened. People just go, it is. It's like, Sylvester Stallone.
Well, I never.
So let's add him to the rogues gallery of Hollywood cameos from history.
XFM.
Shall we do the good news around the world? And Dave, why don't we start with that call that we didn't quite get on? Are they still on the line? They are still on the line. I don't know what this is. What's their name?
I don't know.
You don't know? You've got no idea?
No.
Anonymous unknown first-time caller. This is a huge risk. What's your good news?
Hi, guys. Good news.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was looking through an old drawer trying to find an old receipt to return some shoes I had bought. Imagine my surprise when I stumbled across £100
that
is hidden away for a rainy day and probably forgot about. The day got even better when I looked outside and realised it was in fact raining. What? And I was then promptly obliged to spend it.
Wow, that was worth it. What's your name, caller?
I am Sophie Rogers.
Sophie Rogers, everybody. Confirm this to Sophie. Excellent work.
First time texter.
Delivered it like that. Yeah. I hope she just talks like that all the time as she wanders around life, sort of narrating her own existence. Excellent work, Sophie. Matt.
Good news, guys. Yeah. Positive weather spin from confirmed listener Mal. I love this blustery wind.
Yeah.
It does wonders for my hairdo and invigorates the senses.
Yes.
Wind socks.
Good. Good. Just wind socks just says that.
Wind socks.
Lindsay in Edinburgh says, Matt, I'm so excited. You've seen the light in the popcorn front.
Mm.
I learnt this good news from an ex years ago and I love it. However, the majority of my friends still think it's a little bit weird. Thanks for coming out of the popcorn closet.
Yeah, you don't want to end on the salty. Don't get salty.
No. Obama's just come out in favour of
mixed popcorn.
Yeah.
Yes, doesn't he? Yeah.
It's a risk, but I think it's going to pay off for him. It's great that someone's done that. Although Pedant Marina says, as I'm unlikely ever to go to the cinema with Matt Dyson, the good news is I'll be safe from snacking travesties. Salted with lakes of butter is the one true popcorn, says Marina, probably quoting the Bible or something.
That's American wrongness, that is. It really is. Good news, guys. While furiously looking for an old that's the one.
We just had that live.
Good news, guys. I have a new high sleeper bed. in my room.
Oh.
Complete with desk underneath.
Yeah.
So I now have my own space for reading, homework, and quiet reflection. Mm. Most commendable. Says Joe, who's seven.
Who's seven? I wonder what David Hasselhoff would make of that.
That's not good news. That's great news.
Excellent. I think we found out, haven't we? Greg in St. Albans. Good news, guys. I'm 10 years old today. He's 10, everybody.
Yes.
Happy 10th birthday, Greg.
Great
Happy
years.
10th birthday. Diddly D Potatoes says, good news, guys. Getting a few new tracks of late, and I'll be able to run 10 kilometres of trail in Kent this weekend to the rousing sounds of Riverdance. Wow, okay, all right, yeah, fair enough. So Diddly D Potatoes, oh, I see, that's, I thought that was their name, but actually it comes across as, mildly racially dubious. Matt.
Good news, guys. I'm marrying Ian McLeod on Saturday.
Is this you, Matt?
I know.
Because Obama is totally on your side. This is
right
great.
On, yeah. It's going to be a great wedding, mixed popcorn everywhere.
Oh,
it's
the catering.
What a night. No, this is Lucy Stewart in Kentish Town getting married on Saturday. That's lovely news, isn't it?
That's
also,
great news.
Confirm Mr. Ollie, 13 in Chipstead. I was about to be late for Spanish when the fire bell goes off.
Oh.
This means I didn't have to suffer the dreaded written warning. Added bonus, half an hour of the lesson is already gone. Oh, yeah.
He says. He's cool. If Tidal Times made a comeback, she says, please, Mr. Dyson, please. This is from Emma and Amy. Look, if they are getting married, this is what's going to really make their life together special, Matt. Are you going to do that today?
I'd better check out those Tidal Times for 8:30 then.
Yes. That's not good news, everybody. That's great news.
XFM.
Matthew Hieronymus Dyson. Describe the man sitting to our immediate left.
Well, he's got a nice, very fetching leather jacket.
It's fetching.
He's the English actor, Mr. Johnny Lee Miller.
Johnny Lee Miller's here!
Hi, Johnny Lee Miller.
Morning.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
We got some cool people on this show, but you know, you got your leather jacket on, you've got your aviators there, you look ready to rock.
Yeah, I am.
Good.
I think.
He thinks. How are you, first of all? How's life?
Life's good. That's excellent. Been flying around promoting a movie.
Yes, you have. Yeah, Dark Shadows is the movie. And you play Roger Collins. Not a very sympathetic character, I have to say.
No, he's a total idiot.
Yeah. He's not a nice guy. There's very little to recommend him.
I have to do a lot of research for this character.
Really, yeah. You really got into the role.
It was quite difficult to immerse myself in the idiot.
Right, okay. Do you think of yourself as an idiot?
Well, no, that's why it was a challenge.
I see, I thought you were being self-effacing, in fact.
No.
Hugely arrogant. it's great. And I didn't realise it was based on this TV show. So I imagine it's got a lot of... it was quite a cult TV show, wasn't it? So a lot of fans who were they nervous
about...
It was very
long-running, actually.
Was it?
I heard a thing the other day that it was the second longest-running supernatural soap opera of all time. What a strange stat.
Yeah, absolutely. What would be the first...
What is it, the Munsters? Is it
the Munsters or the Addams Family?
Yeah.
Is that a soap opera, the Munsters?
Yeah. I don't know. If you class it as a soap.
No, well, this Dark Shadows ran, I think, you know, it was every day, 4:00. You know, like your neighbour's slot was, and the kids would run home from school to watch it. Tim Burton being one of those kids.
Being one of them.
Johnny Depp was a big fan, and Michelle Pfeiffer as well.
Really?
Like we did with Neighbours, running home to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe in 20 years or so, Matt, you'll be on a radio show talking about your adaptation of Neighbours.
Yeah.
The big screen. Explain to the kids what it was. Neighbours was an Antipodean.
Neighbours.
Yeah. That would be a marvellous thing.
Needs good neighbour.
Look at this. The sinister side of Neighbours. Well, Johnny, we want to look after you. We're going to play something called Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap My Pitch Up.
And like I say, Johnny, we worry. Just want to make sure that the choices you make are befitting of an actor of your status, stature. So we've got some projects that you might like to consider. Now, all of these are up for grabs. You can have as many of them as you want. Mm-hmm. We've talked to your agent, cleared it all. Papers are being drafted. Mm-hmm. So the first one, Matt, what is your pitch for Johnny Lee Miller?
Are you shriller than Johnny Lee Miller?
Great.
A Britain's Got Talent style competition purely for people with high-pitched voices.
At last!
The English actor sits on a big spinning chair judging members of the public on their piercing tones they sing Bee Gees hits. It keeps on going till one of them shatters a pane of glass. Great. Then they're officially shriller than Johnny Lee Miller.
That's perfect.
You've not got a particularly high voice, it just rhymes.
No, am I judging the shrillness?
Yeah, you're judging the shrillness, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you on board?
I'm on on board.
He's in. He's in already. Boom. That's never happened before. Straight into the first one. At last, Matt, talent competition for The Shrill.
Yeah.
It's never happened. Dave, your pitch for Johnny Lee Miller.
Yes. Yeah, so, what about Johnny Lee Miller's Bonnie Bee Fillers? Oof. Johnny collects bees that have died of natural causes and then documents the intricate process needed to stuff them. He then shows viewers what they can be used for. Wall mountings, miniature cushions, insect potpourri. Yeah. You've got a dead bee. Yeah. Johnny Lee Miller has got a use for it.
Ever stuffed a bee?
My mind is racing. I'm kind of I'm dropping The Shrill and I'm on.
Yeah, he's out and he's in. Wow, that's amazing. Well, I've got I had Johnny Lee Miller's Polyfiller Drillers. I had Johnny Lee Miller's Three Jaunty Milners set in York at the turn of the century.
I've gone Polyfiller Driller.
Yeah, I've gone for Johnny Lee Miller's Bonnie Wee Sillers. Scotland, 2012. And Johnny Lee Miller's on a mission to find 2012 Bonnie Wee Sillers. Ladies called Silla. Why?
This is like 3-2-1 the bit at the end.
Why does there have to be a reason? He just is. Johnny Lee Miller is notoriously eccentric. Plus it rhymes, which is a bonus. This is a 200-part documentary series supported by no marketing and no PR whatsoever, because this will sell itself. Johnny Lee Miller and 2,000 Hot Sillers with a Loch Ness backdrop. People will talk. Are you in or out?
I'm still into bee stuffing.
He's stuffing the bees, everybody. He's going to stuff some bees. All made of charity. Dave, is there a charity element or is it just pure?
Yeah, why not?
He's not thought it through. He's not thought it through.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Here's a nice headline from the Daily Mirror. Brand new campaign happening. A brand new campaign being headed up by Richard Smith of the Mirror. Is Peter Willis the most boring man in Britain? That's the headline. There's a picture of poor Peter here, who I don't think really signed up to this article, you know, having known what they were going to write. But he's just a big fan of postboxes, Matt. What's wrong with that?
Oh, right, yeah.
And it starts. And this is, you know, what attitude the Mirror's got about poor Peter Willis. If there was a competition to have the dullest ever ambition, then Peter Willis might just have pipped everyone to the post.
Oh.
Poor Peter Willis. The former postman dreams of taking a photo of all of Britain's 115,000 postboxes. And then you start to go, yeah, they might have a point here. Yeah. They might have a point. Now, he only started 5 years ago. He's 67 now. It's a big ask, isn't it? 115,000 postboxes and he's 67. So he retired from the Royal Mail and he's already taken 2,500 photos of individual postboxes. He's even programmed his sat-nav in his car to beep every time he passes a postbox. Peter's long-suffering wife, Diane, it says, must feel like she's being dragged from pillar to post.
Oh!
Because she joins her husband on his regular postbox holiday tours around the country. And Diane stands guard while Peter takes pictures. He takes pictures of the bases of them. He records all the details of each one. It started out as a hobby, he says, but it's turned into an obsession. He says he's not sure who'll get all 115,000. But of his favourites, he admits that one of his favourites is at Newcastle Railway Station, even though it looks rather bland. As opposed to those extremely exciting ones that you see everywhere. Others in his top 10, including one at Liverpool's Albert Dock that, quote, gave me a bit of a chuckle. Peter's also proud about living near one of only 160 postboxes in the country to bear the insignia of Edward VIII. I know, house prices must have shot up when they found that out. And then it ends this, right, and this is the campaign bit. It just goes, are you more boring than Peter Willis? Call our news desk on 0800 282591. So immediately I thought of you, Matt. What's boring about you?
I mean, where do I start, Danny?
Alphabetically, I would have thought with you.
Yes. I suppose, I mean, one thing I do that is quite boring is slavishly checking my fantasy league stats every time I log onto a laptop.
Oh, jeez. I mean, I asked this question. I've already zoned out.
Clicking on the info, checking the stats, making tweaks, which is proving to be successful because I am top of the league at the moment. one game week to go. But, that's my
let me know when he's finished talking.
Obsession.
Dave, what about you? What's boring about you?
I've got about 2,000 songs on my iTunes and I have rated every single one.
You have not.
no.
Have you really?
Yeah.
You're a dullard. Oh, man. Peter Willis has got competition. You've rated them all.
Every single one.
Because I started.
Why have you rated them? Surely you just know.
I know. I know in my head which ones I like more and less. But when I started to rate them, I have to then finish.
You couldn't stop. You had to go.
Stop,
really?
Yeah.
Like an OCD.
Yeah.
CDs? OCDs?
Yeah.
OCD,
yeah.
CD. That's a bit odd. Because I would just remember the song and just go, yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go through it and go, I think I like this. What have I rated it?
Four stars.
If
you play your top rated tracks, you'll get them all in order of your favourites.
Yeah.
So that'll work out quite nicely.
Yeah, see, there is a point.
There is a point, yeah, but you took Matt to point it out. You had no idea. I own the largest private collection in Britain of black and white photos of Anglian table tennis teams. From the 1950s and early 1960s. I mean, I've told you about that. They're in the guest room. People think I'm just a massive ping pong fan. I'm just a fan of Anglian table tennis teams from the 1950s. Oh, I've got a whole...
What is it about the area that draws you to it?
The attitude.
Yeah.
The attitude.
It's a state of mind.
It's no nonsense when it comes to ping pong. And I think that is reflected in the very many photos I have of various teams.
Okay.
All lined up, sitting down in their little shorts, holding up their paddles.
Right.
One of them's always got a ball. You can always tell they're the character. And I look at them sometimes. So, but it's not as bad as Peter Willis or indeed Dave Masterman. We are confirmed listener Will, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Will. You seem jaunty.
Oh, yeah, of course I am. I'm at work.
Oh, fantastic. I like to imagine you wearing a little pork pie hat.
No,
fair enough. Very, very strict about that. You're at work. Are there people around you?
Oh, there's one person, but I knocked him out of the van.
Oh, right, you've locked him out of the van. So you can play quiz face.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. All right, where are you parked up?
In Hornchurch High Street.
In Hornchurch High Street, about to play quiz face. All right, so are you ready to play quiz face?
Yes, I am.
You should know the rules by now, Will, so let's get quizzical. Quiztery. It's Quiztery, Will. Our regular trip back through history to see some of the places and people and things and animals and cities and coins and clothing and peoples and places and things we used to do and how we did or do or have done them. As usual, Will, any and all sound effects will be improvised live by Matt Dyson. So, if you're ready, let's do Quiz Face, a warning from history. 1864. Will, picture this in your mind. It's 1864. Famously took place in the 19th century. And behold, Will, just there, it's the Queen.
Hello.
Of Germany.
Guten Tag.
The one who can't actually speak. But instead, and you like this, Matt, communicates just by slapping herself in the face quite hard. She's really going for it today. She's got ever such a lot to say.
I think she suddenly stopped.
Okay, she stopped. But Will, she waves at you from atop a mighty golden stallion. That's moving around a lot. But what's this, Will? It's my question. And that question is what I've said true or false?
False.
You're saying false.
Magic of theatre.
You're right, Will. That was not really happening. It was merely the magic of theatre. Let's spin the history wheel and try another one.
1604.
It's 1604, Will. It's the year of the dinosaurs. Good. Keep that going for us now. That's what it should sound like. A terrifying T-Rex stalks the streets of old Liverpool, just by the clock tower, Matt.
Clock tower what?
Bong. But that, yeah. But look, a baby T-Rex, Will. So sweet, so alone, so vulnerable.
I'm a little T-Rex, a baby T-Rex, so sweet and so alone.
He's learned English, Will. He can speak. You're still with us, Will?
Yes, I'm sure we are.
Maybe some good can come out of
it. I'm so mesmerised.
Don't break the magic, Will. Maybe some good can come of this terrifying union of man and beast. Desperate to communicate with you, Will, the T-Rex begins to slap itself in the face.
I'm not doing that again. Right. You can speak English anyway. Right. That's more And then the Queen came.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe, Will, if you can communicate with the T-Rex, you can save Old Liverpool from its terrible destruction. You crouch down, Will, to hear the T-Rex's tiny voice.
Hello, future dweller,
says the baby T-Rex.
My people tell me there is one well-known phrase from your time.
Ooh.
A three-word phrase beginning, we are, and which will cease this endless battle twixt man and dinosaur.
And then, realising he was in Liverpool and that therefore a Liverpudlian accent might be more appropriate for this bit, he said,
pray tell, wouldst thou know what the phrase in all its completedness may be?
What's the phrase, Will? We are...
XFM.
He's done it! Oh! Oh! A lot of research went into that.
We are...
XFM. Travel.
They're accused northbound to the Blackwall Tunnel from the Sun in the Sands roundabout after a car broke down earlier, and the Woolwich Ferry is still only running a one-boat service. Speaking of the ferry and the Thames, let's get tidal for the soon-to-be-wed Wendy and Amy.
Yeah. I can't just say, Amy is such a massive fan of these tidal times, and she's requested it earlier to celebrate the Obama statement. And I looked at Amy's text history. And she's texted the show quite a few times, but almost exclusively about tidal times.
Who can blame her?
Who can blame her?
Maybe a reception down by the riverbanks is in order.
Yes.
Or a cruise on the Woolwich Ferry.
Oh.
A crazy dream, I know. Today we focus on Richmond, where the tide is low at 13.46. That's 1.46.
1.46.
This afternoon, down to 0.17 metres. The high is not till 9 minutes to six tonight, up to 4.92, possibly a lot more higher than that after all the rain we've been having.
Nice.
Okay. True facts, these tidal times. Look them up if you don't believe me. And remember, brethren of the riverbank, don't hate the tidal times. Hate the river and the ongoing changes brought about by the gravitational pull of the moon.
XFM.
Man, you lot are boring. Wow. Interests, hobbies, obsessions. Go on.
Collection of dullards.
It's a bit strong, but all right. we're asking you this morning, we've been asking you, are you more boring than Peter Willis, who is being named the most boring man in Britain? The answer, of course, is yes, so we can move on. No, but let's investigate these texts. Well, goodness me. Goodness me. I mean, Teacher Ellie, she categorises all of her books, firstly by genre, of course, brackets, pre-20th century literature, modern classics, other fiction, literary theory, history plays, and poetry. And then she creates almost a subgenre, which is alphabetized by author, of course, not by title. I will not allow a book to be placed on top of the other books. Each book has to have its own book place. So boring.
Matt. This is one of my favourite texts of the year so far.
Oh, yeah.
Confirm listener Stew.
Yeah.
What a great top line. Morning, Danny. I'm a massive advocate of spreadsheets.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, boring.
There's not a problem on this planet that can't be solved by the development of an effective and well-functioning spreadsheet.
I'm not even listening anymore. Anonymous just says, I study maths and further maths. Already I've lost interest. At A level. And whenever I get sad, I use maths to cheer myself up. I did 2 hours of second order differentials after breakup. Oh, we've all done that after a messy breakup, haven't we? Just 2 hours of second order differentials.
Yeah.
Confirm this to Jason. Why are you boring?
Basically, I'm so boring. I have the most boring dreams. I either dream that I'm standing in a queue, I'm filling up the car with petrol. Sometimes I dream that I'm buying trousers or shirts.
Amazing. He's got access to the entire human imagination.
Yeah.
Infinite amount of information. We use 10% of our brains. The other 90% could be used in the dream state. And he just dreams of buying trousers. Wow, Matt.
Paul in Welling.
Oh, yeah. Not boring Paul.
Confirm listener, boring Paul in Welling. He's read the Harry Potter books 169 times
each. Man.
Oh, man. He can't go anywhere without one of the books with him. He knows everything about Harry Potter.
That's boring, isn't it? It's very boring.
Confirm this to Jason. You got any other dreams?
My most recent one was I was at a fast food outlet, and I got to the front of the queue. I got my order and realized I forgot my wallet in the car, so I had to go back and get it and got my meal.
I got my meal. That was the big payoff. The dream was that
wow.
He was in a queue. I forgot my wallet. I'll get my wallet. Oh, there's your order. That was the dream. How'd you wake up in the morning? The most amazing world. Dream last night. Oh, man, that's great. Steph says, when I did A-level music, I used to write Bach chorals in breaks and at lunch, just for fun. I like doing them now, and I've continued the habit. It's boring. Matt?
I have to have 3 stars in every Angry Birds level created.
Oh,
if I have no scramble games, I create more with strangers. Anyone for draw something? I'm an iPhone bore. Also, I go on and on about being fat, even though I'm not. I'm just a bit. Thank God I've kicked Farmville on a habit I had there. I'm not just boring, but my boringness is boring. Nat.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Jason, you got any more dreams for us?
I've had ones where I'm standing around in a clock shop, just waiting for an attendant.
First, what's a clock shop? The irony as well of being in a clock shop and being made to wait. Mm. It's a dream where it's just waiting.
We need to get these analysed.
I mean, I can tell. Oh, man, that's a great one, Jason. Oh, why not? Let's have one more, Jace.
I've had another one where I'm in the grocery store and I can't make up my mind as to what I want to eat for supper. These kinds of things.
Oh, my favorite listener. My favorite listener of modern times. Jason, please do this. Whenever you next have a dream, ordinarily people say, don't tell me about your dreams, they're boring. Yours are so boring, they are incredible. Text us every time you have a dream, my friend. Oh, that was great.
We are
XFM.
Quiz Face.
I'm confirmed listener Will, and I was sat in the van on Hornchurch High Street. I love Hornchurch High Street. They've got a millet, a key cutters and everything. Anyway, I'm sat in the van on Hornchurch High Street, but now I'm a Quiz Face winner. Marry me, Daddy Wallace.
XFM.
Let's get angry and nerdy. So 83936 for your angry nerd rants this morning. They're already coming in. Everyone's getting it in the neck. I'll begin. Hey, Daybreak editors, or Lorraine, or whatever it's called now. Everything's so lovely and bright in your world, isn't it? All yellow and pink and shiny. You're not fooling anyone. Only your travel news seems to truly reflect the actual British experience. Bleak, underfunded, a badly lit man superimposed in front of a wobbly, shonky, low-quality feed from an unstable traffic camera. Somewhere on the M25, like a ghost at a window. You should be ashamed. Increase their budget forthwith. Just don't put fruit in Lorraine's dressing room. She never eats it anyway. Give it to travel.
Yeah. Google Street View on my iPhone. Yeah. What is it? When the 3G signal weakens and you lose picture to reveal this horrible stark beige background.
Wasted.
Dots on it. Yeah, it's like a wasteland where the floor is blue.
Isn't it?
Sorry, the floor is like beige and,
beige.
And the sky is blue.
Sky
that's
blue.
All there is. That's all you can see.
Yeah.
Is this reality? Is this a glitch in the Matrix?
This? Yeah, what is this?
What's really going on in front of our eyes?
Yeah.
This was revealed while trying to find the name of a Chinese that I liked on Uxbridge Road.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I may have stumbled across something.
You stumbled across something dark there.
Right?
Or you've caught a whiff of Howard Marks, I'm not sure. Hey, Maddie from Hornchurch, texting us to tell us there is no millets in Hornchurch. Yeah? We were creating a sense of place using visual imagery. At no point did we think it necessary to phone the mayor of Hornchurch and ask if there's a millets there. Although your text does fit in quite nicely to Angry Nerds. And before you text in again, I know there's no mayor of Hornchurch. You know, you've been using a rolling system of locally elected councillors. You don't need to text it in. I was being silly.
We are...
It's an interesting thing, Matthew. An interesting thing I thought you could get some tips from. So there was a weather report yesterday. A weather report. And they had a new weather presenter. New weather presenter just popped up. So, you know, viewers weren't aware this was about to happen. But he was in the building, so he thought he'd give it a go. So, see if you recognise this voice doing the weather.
Well, it's an unsettled picture as we head towards the end of the week.
Yeah, it's him.
It's not.
It's Prince
not,
Charles.
It's Prince Charles.
Prince Charles doing the weather. It's good enough for Charles. It's good enough for you. But what struck me about this man, what concerned me and filled me with trepidation, is the way he's doing it. Now listen again.
Well, it's an unsettled picture as we head towards the end of the week.
It's negative, isn't it?
Yeah,
now, you went to your disciplinary not too long ago.
Yeah, informal chat with the bosses, yeah.
You say informal chat, everyone else in the world says disciplinary.
That's what it was.
And you went, and they said to you, you know, God, so many problems here. The main one being your negative weather, you know.
Well,
you're
always
saying... But you, on the other hand, you just go, I tell it like it is. If it's raining, I say it's raining. And
shoot
they're saying,
from the hip, Danny, but, yeah.
You are?
I shoot from the hip.
You shoot from the hip, you take the prisoners when it comes to your weather, don't you? But how would you reword that first clip again? Here it is.
Well, it's an unsettled picture as we head towards the end of the week.
It's quite depressing. He's sort of losing me there with his negativity.
Yeah.
You know, just focus on the positives. There could be some sunshine, Charles. Tell us about the sunshine. Let it shine from within you.
Because you always say, like, possibility of bright spells later, but there's a possibility of anything later, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's. But it's nice to remind people that it is possible.
Exactly.
That there might be a bright spell. What's another one?
This afternoon it'll be cold, wet and windy across most of Scotland.
Matt? I mean, that's no good at all. People are going to be staying indoors all day.
So what's your spin?
Let's not focus on that. Let's just try and focus on the benefits that this weather can bring to Scotland.
Such as
the herbaceous plant life. And the drought-stricken gardeners who will be welcoming it with open arms.
Yeah, the Duke of Burgundy. I mean, Charles should have talked about the butterfly, the Duke of Burgundy. Yeah. Keep it in the royal family. another clip?
We're under the influence of low pressure, and this weather front pushing northwards is bringing cloud and outbreaks of rain.
You're often under the influence when you don't know what you're on.
He needs to, you know, smarten up his delivery a little bit.
Yeah,
a bit more punchy.
Bit more punchy.
A bit more pizzazz, please, Charles.
I was thinking, if we were to use, say, this music.
Yes.
Now try it.
Well, it's an unsettled picture as we head towards the end of the week. This afternoon it'll be cold, wet and windy across most of Scotland. We're under the influence of low pressure, and this weather front pushing northwards is bringing cloud and outbreaks of rain.
There you go!
The rain, of course, will be heaviest over the borders and around Edinburgh.
Doesn't sound so bad.
Where it could lead to difficult conditions on the roads.
Or might not.
In the west... Rain will be lighter and patchier. There will maybe a few drier interludes over Dumfries House in Ayrshire. Aha. There'll be snow for the higher ground. Thank God it isn't a bank holiday.
Always end on a laugh, Matt. Always end on a laugh. Nice work, Charles. Those tips are all free.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
I've asked you this morning... Tell us about things you know can't be true, right? The world obviously doesn't work this way. And yet, you believe these things. I think this is going to go well. Touch wood. How about that, Matt, first?
Ben in Essex.
Uh-huh.
Ben says he never walks over three drains, or at least he never used to. And one time his dad told him not to be so stupid. And to conquer the obsession, he started walking over every drain he came across. But then he fell down one on holiday and broke his leg.
No!
So, I mean,
you've undermined the entire texter by proving these things.
Oh, yeah.
You proved it for them. I'll move it away from that, because Chris from Tooting confirmed this. To Chris says, I touch my belly button whenever I see a flashing light ambulance to send my guardian angel to help the person in distress. He says, I don't believe this at all. I'm not religious, not even superstitious. I even have a girlfriend, but I must touch my belly button if I see an ambulance. That's a bit odd, isn't it?
It's a strange one.
It's a strange one. It's unique to you, I believe. Anonymous just said, I know this isn't the way the world works, but when I'm driving, my radio volume has to be an even number. Otherwise, I simply can't relax.
Sam brackets London has to touch the roof of the car when he goes through a yellow and amber traffic light.
Really?
Yes.
has to touch the ceiling of his car.
Yeah.
Right?
Again, he has to hide it from his girlfriend. Essex Brian says his girlfriend taps canned drinks 10 times on the lid before opening to rid it of bad spirits.
Bad spirits?
I thought it was just to stop it, like, fizzing over.
Yeah, but she's concerned there are spirits.
It's more on the spirit level for Essex Brian's girlfriend.
Like an evil genie.
Yeah.
The genie of the lamp, the genie of the tango.
Just tap it out.
Yeah, just tap it out, everyone. Ali says, I still at the ripe old age of 29 count the syllables in a sentence I'm saying on my fingers and hope to God that it comes to a multiple of 5. All because when I was a bridesmaid at age 9, the reading I gave added up to 35 syllables and it was a great day. So she wants to recapture that magic of that wedding she went to when she was 9.
Okay.
Her entire life is based around that wonderful day. Wow. What about Andy in Kingston? What's yours?
I have to clap every time I sneeze because I believe that a fairy might die. I'm 24 and it looks like I'm applauding my own sneeze. Achoo!
Yeah, nice little bit of applause. But Andy, you're not alone. Sarah in London has exactly the same thing. Every time she sneezes, it's just a clap. Otherwise, there'll be a fairy death on her hands.
Wow, Joss, confirm listener. Joss says, I can't help sweeping new shoes off the table, even when it's just more convenient for them to be there. The slow motion run-up, the no, and the relief as the new shoes fly off the table and probably break something. She still does it all.
Really?
She can't help it, Joss.
Jack in Rayleigh says, when I walk up stairs, my right foot has to be first on and last off. If there's an even number of steps, I'll go so far as to stop and change which foot is on the step. These things, man. Nick in Ryslip says, walking under street signs in between the poles, right? He's got to walk, you know, under street signs in between the poles. I've lost count of the number of times I've ended up covered in rubbish because I've squeezed myself between a pole and a railing. He's coming home filthy, this guy, because he's got to do it, otherwise something bad will happen. We got a last one there.
Jamie can't leave the TV on standby, even if he's gone to bed. He just can't settle if the TV's on standby.
What's going to happen?
It plays on his mind all night.
What's going to happen? Mind you, we should say probably best to turn it off.
Yeah.
Just in case something
just
happens.
To save energy.
And this part of the broadcast is played one day in a court. We are... That's Squidiculous. That's the title. It's great. Love it. And there's a fishing contest, right? There's a fishing contest that was held just the other day. It was the 5th annual All England Squid Championships. A spokesman said, we expected around 100 squid to be caught this year. And they're sized somewhere between sort of 40 and 60 centimetres. So let's say half a metre on average, right? So about 70 fishermen, they all head down to the coast. They go there. And someone blows a trumpet, probably, and they say, let the squid contest begin. Guess how big the winning squid was?
About a metre.
1 centimetre.
What?
1 centimetre. It was the only squid that was caught, and it was 1 centimetre. It was a baby squid. It's tiny. It's smaller than half a thumb. Now, who could it be? Let's do guess who. Guess who? So, we've covered a lot on the show the past few days, haven't we? Covered a lot.
Well, there's been so many different scientific studies done about ridiculous things. It could be related to that.
Could be science-related. It could be related to the status quo action caper, Bula Quo.
We wish. Got to come soon, haven't we?
Could be the schoolgirl who's cured hiccups.
Oh, yeah.
Could be a yawning dog. Could be any of these things and many more. So we've got 60 seconds to try and guess who is on the line. Okay, are we ready? They're on the line? Then start the countdown. Caller, are you there?
Oh, they are there, I think. Hello.
Caller, are you there?
Hello. Yes.
Oh,
yes. I am here.
He is there. You sound fairly close. You sound, obviously, in Britain. You're a gentleman. You've got a deepish voice. How old are you, sir?
I am 28.
28. Do you know what? That's a weird detail, but I might...
I might... You can't have got it from that.
I might have, because if he's the guy I'm thinking of, it always says this man's name, comma, 28, like a tabloid. Is your name Brian?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, it's not him. It's not him. All right. Were you involved in a scientific study?
I have been involved in a part of scientific studies, but I wasn't in this case.
No. Are you at the centre of a news story?
Yes.
Does it concern you? Is it yawning dog?
It concerns me.
Oh, Did you cover a mouse in yogurt to find it sexy?
No, although that would have been interesting.
Yeah. Well, that was the closest I could have got. I don't know. Please reveal who you are.
I am David Hamaturai, the fifth All England Open Squid World Champion. Champion.
David, hello, David. Thank you for joining us. How wonderful to speak to you, David. This was the All England Squid Championships. Now, from memory, was it 60 or 70 fishermen headed down?
Yeah. Exactly. I believe it was roughly around 70, 75, something
like that. And from memory, you're expecting squid of around half a metre. One squid was caught. It was caught by you. The fact that you caught the only squid made you the All England Squid Champion. And how big was this squid?
Well, it was a huge thing of around two centimetres. Some papers have said 1 centimetre, but it wasn't very large anyway.
Yeah, somewhere between 1 and 2 centimetres, this squid. Now, were you expecting to catch maybe a larger squid?
It would have been good, because, I mean, the idea of me going was to take it home for dinner, so, you know, I couldn't really get much of a dinner at one o'clock.
That's not even a light travelling snack.
No. Like a peanut size.
It's like a peanut. Oh, man. Now, you know, congratulations on winning, first of all. But what was it like the moment you had to stand up in front of an assembled crowd of local dignitaries, interested locals, your fellow squid fishermen, receive a trophy and hold up your winning squid? What a show today. It's all been happening, you know. We had the Johnny Lee Miller. Yeah. We talked about Prince Charles. What else have we learned today? I'll tell you what we learned. Well, one big talking point on today's show. After the story in the Mirror about Peter Willis possibly being the most boring man in Britain, we thought perhaps we can out-bore them. And we did. We found Britain's most boring confirmed listener. It was confirmed listener Jason, who was this boring.
Basically, I'm so boring, I have the most boring dreams. I either dream that I'm standing in a queue, I'm filling up the car with petrol. Sometimes I dream that I'm buying trousers or shirts.
Just buying trousers or shirts or standing in a queue. That wasn't the only boring dream he's had.
My most recent one was I was at a fast food outlet, and I got to the front of the queue. I got my order and realized I forgot my wallet in the car, so I had to go back and get it and got my meal.
Yep. He was just standing in the queue, forgot his wallet. It all turned out fine. It got more boring than that, didn't it?
I've had ones where I'm standing around in a clock shop, just waiting for an attendant.
Just standing around in a clock shop, waiting. Just a dream where I was waiting in a shop. What happened at the end? Nothing.
I've had another one where I'm in the grocery store and I can't make up my mind as to what I want to eat for supper. These kinds of things.
Yeah, those kinds of things. Confirm listener Jason, everybody. One of my favourite listeners of all time. We So there you go, that was podcast number 42 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Thank you so much for listening, thank you so much for downloading, thank you so much for your continued support, thank you so much for wearing a top while listening. I'll see you in podcast number 43. Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.